Alright, next gentleman coming to the stage is a member of the production Mech Sith, a combination of Star Wars and Macbeth that opens, I believe, April 30th at the Pendulum Theater. Did I get that right?
Yep.
Orion Cooling!
Yeah! So I brought some props. This is my little buddy. I'm holding the 1980 Luke Skywalker action figure. And now you're holding him. Pass him around. As you pass him around, please note how well-loved he is. You see, when I was a little boy, my father worked three jobs. And a cop was two of those jobs that he worked. And a mover was another, and I never saw him. He was a good man. He was a good man with a family to feed. And we were broke, guys. We were so poor, we couldn't afford the O or the R. We were just Poe. And we were like... I wouldn't survive without, like, hunting and, like, wick and, like, what the food donated from the church was brought to us, right? So these tokens, these action figures, were expensive, man. They came from Toys R Us, which is like, whoa, right? If it wasn't a thrift store, we probably weren't going there, you know? And Dad would come home after not seeing him for literally a couple days, right? And he'd put one of those boxes down next to me. And he'd look at me and just apology all over his face, but no words with the apology. But that was kind of okay because I loved Star Wars with a passion, and I still do. And the roar of a wampa is a horrific thing. And you see, it was a cold winter's morning. It was so cold that that little five-year-old version of me, right, that was so light that I could walk across the crust of the snow, and I heard the wampas roaring outside. And we had a rule. We lived out in the country. The rule was you had to be back by dark. That's it. That's the kind of childhood I had, like... See you then, right? And we would, and that was okay with me. Like, we were hunters and we were trappers and we were in the Northwoods, and that was okay. You know, it wasn't cruel, it was fun. Because you went out and invented your own life and your own games and your own adventures, and I had some wampas to kill. Because my dad had given me a lightsaber. And when I was a kid, lightsabers weren't the amazing lightsabers we use right now in our production of McSith, which are like between $200 and $700 per blade, right? Mm-hmm. They're incredible. Plug, Ultra Sabers, well done. they were literally like airplane landing cones. They didn't know how to flex extension. No, they were just, you had to imagine that. Like, you turn it on, and a little blue thing, and you're like, that's it. All right. And it was cool because your sword fights were meant for imaginary people. You weren't sword fighting your buddies with these things because you could just get whacked by a flashlight, right? But that was fine because I hit that button, and my imagination took care of the rest, and it was time to go kill some wampas. So I went outside. I'm all decked out. And there were, again, very few rules growing up. Let's see, what were the rules? You weren't allowed to watch Smurfs because Gargamel was satanic. when Willow came out, that was against the rules too, but I still watched Willow. But somehow Star Wars Force Magic was okay, right? Anyway, so the other rules were be back by dark, right? And don't go near the rock quarry. Pretty simple. But that's where the wampas were. They were in the rock quarry. So I set out, right? Crawling across the snow. Waiting any minute now for Obi-Wan Kenobi to show up and give me some indispensable advice, right? Just checking out. Didn't. Okay, sweet. Slid down to the rock quarry. Looking quite cool. And lit my lightsaber. You know, and away we went. Fighting all the wampas. Like 40, 50 wampas in there. There's a lot of wampas. The screams of them as they died will still make me so proud the rest of my life. Wampa blood everywhere. Drenched in wampa blood. Or just sweat, because you're 5 years old and you've been fighting. I'm talking, I got there, I think, at like 9 a.m, and then the sun was going down. That's how much time. And you didn't stop, man. You don't stop when you're fighting wampas. And like, so, sun's going down. I'm like, gotta go home now. Okay, no problem. And I work myself into a total sweat, right? I'm like, I've not eaten, okay? I'm just like, so tired. Time to go home. It's been a good day being a warrior. I went to the side of the rock quarry. It was like, okay. Now, when I was a kid, this rock quarry was probably like 100 feet deep. In real life, it was like 12, right? But like, it was really big 12 feet, all right? And when you're only like 3 feet tall or whatever you were, that's sizable. So I went to climb up, and all that lovely ice and snow had become just like, had melted and become like solid ice, right? And I couldn't get out. I was in a hole. 2 miles away from my home, no one had any idea where I was, and the sun was going down. And no one could hear me screaming, and no one can hear me crying, and no one can see the hot tears running down my face, right? I was straight up panicking for two reasons, right? One, it was cold, and I knew my dad's a hunter and a trapper. I grew up in the woods, that this is dangerous. And two, if my dad found me, I was going to get a whooping, all right? Like, this is fearsome. So I, out of sheer desperation, take the hilt of my lightsaber, and I smash it into the crusty wall of the rock quarry. I make a little hole in the ice and snow. I look at that, and I put my fingers in there, and I go, and I get myself to here, and I grab it, and I go, boom! I put another sear, and I dig my fingers in there, and I get up, boom, and I do it again. I get to the top of this crevice, right, of this rock quarry, and the sun's going down, and I hear in my head, and I think, I am a Jedi. Like my father before me. Years pass, and I'm 30 years old, and I have made all the mistakes a man can make. I have done good things, and I have done bad things. This is 6 years ago. And I have cut a swath through the United States built upon passion and impulse, and I have stepped on as many toes as I have helped people. And so I spent some time that year, when I was turned 30, doing what I call the Great Apology Tour. I went through three states finding people who I had treated horrifically. Out of my drive and my passion, I had cost a lot of people sleep and rest, and it was unacceptable. And I had to realize that as I turned 30, that had to change. That I had to own up to my responsibility. That just doing what you wanted doesn't mean that was what the community needs, right? So I went through, and I found these people. And that same year, I adapted a play, and it was called McSith. And I just thought it was really fun. I got paid by a homeschool group to teach Shakespeare to kids. So I'm like, we're going to do it for Star Wars. It's going to be great. And it became like this little scene became this really, really big thing. And I'm up in northern Michigan, and I'm directing this play that I'd written at a regional theater up there. And I got a cast of 30. We've got a fly system. We're having so much fun. And when we're not listening to, it was like a lot of Nine Inch Nails and then a lot of Shakespeare. And it was just a great time to be alive. And it was my 30th birthday. And I had ordered the master replica lightsaber, make your own lightsaber kits, right? You can still get them, but now they're collector's items. Back then, you just get them. Anyways, but I ordered two of them because I realized that there's a duality in us, right? And that I had to, one, strive for the light, but also accept the fact that I'm never going to be a hero in that way. I'm a gray Jedi in the Qui-Gon Jinn kind of realm, right? Jason Solo, before he goes all the way to the dark side. And then I was okay with that. I had to be okay with that. I had to be okay with the fact that I had impulses that were not necessarily heroic. And that might be all right. So I took the first kit down to an abandoned industrial dock. It's Ore Dock in Marquette, Michigan. And that was back when I was a punk and back when I was in college and I was experimenting with dark magic and going through like my Wicca was not hardcore enough phase and I had to do some other things. I went down to where there was all these pentagrams and whatnot and I took my black magic candles and I sat there at midnight. And I drew a circle of magic, and I made my Sith lightsaber, right? I popped that thing on, smoked a clove cigarette, called a night. Then, that was the night before my birthday, right? The next day, I went out to, because the cloves were perfect for that moment. So then I went out to, the next day, my friend has a beautiful place called Big Creek, and it was a place where I really began to find who I was. It's 90 acres of Northwood beauty out there, and artesian spring wells and huge trees, and they have a druid oak circle they planted there 30 years ago. And I sat there in the interior of the druid oak circle, and I drew a white magic spell around me, and I cast my runes, and I sat there and I waited. And I waited for the sun to go down, and I waited for the sun to cast to the trees, all these just incredible like ribbons of light bouncing off the trees. Just sat there, and I do Tai Chi now, and I was working through a form. I sat down, and it was time. Closed my eyes, grabbed the stuff. I was really proud that I closed my eyes. Grabbed all the pieces. Put it together. Stood up. Pop hiss. Green light. Lightsaber. And I felt that now middle-aged man connected to the young man. And the exhilaration of carrying on that story from when the time you were 5 to the time you were 30. But it doesn't end there, because now I'm 36. And I'm getting older. And my ambitions are getting bigger, not smaller. and my desire to pursue the duality of the Jedi is still very much part of what I do. I teach kids for a living. I'm a role model. I love presenting a higher option for young men to strive towards. I ask them for it. I demand it, right? But I also like to dwell in the darkness. I love mixed Sith. I like the horror of it. We don't make it a comedy. It's not a parody. It's not a farce. It's horrifically violent and very frightening. And that's okay, too. So now I get to be this version of Luke Skywalker. Now my hand's been cut off. I got some battle scars on me. Oh, no. It's okay. They're meant to be played with. That's why they're right there in front. They're not collector's items. They're meant to be played with. All right? They're meant to be rough. They're meant to be scrubby. They're meant to break. They're meant to be lost. They're toys, for God's sake. And that's part of it, right? So now I guess I need to look forward to. I can now be the scruffy Luke Skywalker. I can now be the guy who comes in with his beard and that scar tissue from motorcycle accidents years past. Still there. And I couldn't help but feel with the full run of mixed Sith, after all its beta versions, all the things that we've done with it, and the fact that Star Wars is coming out and the Battlefront is coming out, right? That this is absolutely the right place to be, the right time to accept my responsibilities and to say again, as I did when I was 5, I am a Jedi, like my father before me. Press start.
I don't know, I'm more excited about Star Wars now than I have been in a long, long time. So I agree, this is a great time. Thank you for sharing the story. Appropriately, this is Star Wars Celebration Weekend, so we all had our own little bit of Anaheim here in Chicago, Illinois. How about that? No one's going to bite on that? All right. Star Wars Celebration is like, whatever. Anyway, guys, we have two more stories, and we're going to take a